I was wondering a lot as to what the Lord wanted me to bring about. But He's had me studying in the book of Zechariah for quite some time. Almost half of a year. And I was wondering why. And lo and behold, He brought something else which I never thought would even come anywhere close to this. Because He says that He is going to build His house, and in the end times, Jerusalem, which is us, His body, would be inhabited. And God would be the wall of fire around us. If you remember well, in the Old Testament, Jerusalem was surrounded by walls for their protection. But now, in this new time, we are the Jerusalem of God. He's coming down to inhabit all of those who surrender unto Him completely. And He will be the walls of fire surrounding us. And the next portion of the scripture in Zechariah, the second chapter, says something that really amazed me. Because He said that He would be the light or the glory from within it. Now, since Christ came and paid the price for us at Calvary, He did away with the enemy, which is Lucifer or Satan or whatever you want to call it. He did away with him, but we're still left with an enemy, and we've got to learn who that enemy is in order to fight him. Because I got into a point where I was reading a verse in 1 Timothy chapter 6, which is verse 12, as a matter of fact. And it says, fight the good fight of faith. Now, anybody who knows that a fight usually is not the good, because somebody gets bummed around. And if we take it in a natural term, there's nothing good about it. But He says, a good fight. So it means that we have to take His word and use it against our enemy. But who is our enemy? Lucifer has been taken care of. You remember a little verse in the book of Ephesians that says that the spirit fights against what? No. He fights against the flesh. And the flesh fights against the spirit. So who is our biggest enemy? Our flesh. Our carnal desires. They want to rule. They want to rule what? Our hearts. Mind, will, and emotion. To get us away from what God has already won for us. What He's already prepared for each one of us to live into. So the flesh wants to have things easy. It wants to have what it wants. And if we bow down to it, we become captive to it. So that's our enemy. I don't have to fight against my sister there, or you, or my brother Kim. I've got to fight against what is the driving force of my life. Is it God, or is it my flesh? So the Lord is trying to get us to yield our wills unto Him, and use His word to destroy the works that the enemy has done in our life throughout the years. Because we've got a baggage that goes back an awfully long way. All the way back to Adam. If you remember, in some passages of the New Testament, it says that the waters of repentance went all the way back to Adam. But it turns out that if you look in the natural, in the nation of Israel, there's a place called Adam. So if you look at it in the natural, you would never connect the two. But the word being spiritual and having to do with God, He went and bought and paid the price for everything that has happened all the way to Adam. Therefore, all of our background, where we come from, because we all come from Adam and Eve. Whichever way you want to look at it, we all come from there. And He has paid the price all the way back to that point. All the way back to Adam. But we have to yield unto Him and claim that liberty all the way back to the very beginning, right in the garden. And then the next point that He showed to me was, what is the garden? Because in the book of Genesis, it says that there was a garden that was planted by God. And in that garden, there were all kinds of trees, all beautiful and all good for us to eat and to partake of. But in the midst of it, there was two trees. One was the tree of life, and one was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's in the garden. But the garden, in the spiritual terms, in the godly terms, is our heart, which is the mind, the will, and the emotion. The tree of life is God. And where does God dwell? According to the word in the New Testament, He dwells not in houses built by human hands, or otherwise, let's say, anybody here is a carpenter or has built houses or stuff like that? Well, yeah. Well, that's a house. He builds houses, but He builds them with human hands. But God says He doesn't inhabit a house built by human hands. But He inhabits our hearts. Mine, His, everyone here. We are all His house. So His garden is our soul, which is the mind, will, and emotion. There's all kinds of verses in the Bible that speak of, be ye renewed in the spirit of your mind, in the book of Corinthians. Peter says, work out the salvations of your souls with great fear and trembling. Romans 12:1 believes, says, be ye renewed in, according to the word. Have your mind renewed with what? With His word. And as it gets renewed, God gets more place in us. And by the same token, it pushes the enemy out, which is our flesh, because the flesh always comes back. And this is where it gets hard, because when we do that, flesh always rears its ugly head and wants to win. He wants to win no matter what the cost is. So He'll try every little trick that you can imagine, or some that you can't even think of, to get you sidetracked. And it's the hardest one to be able to pinpoint, especially if He deals with you on the side of good, because He's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Evil is always easy to recognize, but good, oh, it's an awful lot harder. Sometimes He'll throw you left curves that you don't even think of, you don't even notice it, because it sounds good. He'll get you busy doing things that you think are for God. Like preaching, He could be getting you to preach the word, like preach a salvation. But if there's no anointing, if your life is not surrendered unto God, what are the results? There's none. People kind of look at you, oh, hey, that's all you have. I don't want anything, any part of it. But yet, if we look at the life of Jesus, who was totally yielded to the Father, what happened? People came to Him. They were running after Him. Not all accepted what He gave, because when He started giving something that was a little too hard for them to take, they would turn away. But those who were really hungry and wanted change, they wanted eternal life, they wanted to be with Him, they stuck with it. And they fought till the end. That's why we have all the testimonies that are written in this book. That many, many of them went all the way, but an awful lot turned away from Him. So, let us learn to recognize where the fight really is, instead of fighting against one another and have all kinds of disagreements and people going around, well, I am of this one, I am with this particular movement, and this other church. That's not God. God is one. He is united. He is one. Let us get to a point where we will be in agreement with Him and serve Him. And never mind all of the different names of denominations or whatever you want to call them. And that's get together with God. And God, let's put it this way. For those who want to walk with Him, He will have His way. And He says He will build that church. And Jerusalem will be inhabited. It will be inhabited. There will be so many. And that's His word. If you want to care to look at it, go to Zechariah chapter 2. And you will see it with your own eyes. It's written in the Word. It's not something I'm making up. I had never seen it before. And I mean, I read that book. I couldn't even begin to tell you how many times. And starting on the verse 4. And he said to the second angel, "Run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited and dwell as villages without walls." So there will not be any earthly walls around to protect us because of the multitude of people and livestock in it. "For I, says the Lord, will be to her a wall of fire around about, and I will be the glory in the midst of them." What does God call us in the New Testament? He calls us lively stones. We are precious stones to Him, precious in His sight. We are also clouds. Read the book of Jude. Those that are clouds filled with His word are filled with the water of life, bringing forth life wherever they go. There's all kinds of things that He calls those that are His believers, that are His children and belong unto Him, that are yielded unto Him. And those that will get to that point will not yield to the pushings of the flesh. Yielding to the flesh or the fleshly desires, even if it's to do good, they will have learned to go to the Father God. "Is this what you want me to do? Is that for me right now? Should I do it or not?" If you don't get a strong push or a yes, go. Don't. Want to know why? If you do, you risk getting messed up real bad. Because that's one of the ways of the enemy, which incidentally knows each and every one's weaknesses better than sometimes we do ourselves. I just read a little something this afternoon. I didn't think I was going to fall on that, but here's a man, and I believe most of you know of his teaching. It was John Bevere.
Yeah.
He's got in one of his books written about Nehemiah, which was building a wall after a return from exile. Apparently, according to what is written in that book, it says that this man was a sports person. He loved sports. The enemy had done his homework. So, Sanballat, which was working one of the guys for the ruler of Persia, wanted to stop the building of the wall. Isn't that like a trick of the enemy? He wants to stop the building of the wall. The wall is us in the New Testament. But in that time, it was the wall surrounding Jerusalem for protection. So he did his own work and found out that this man was as good, and he wanted to, so the enemy came back and kind of taunted him and offered him to be the coach for a team, a sports team, to have some contest. And also, the other part of the temptation was to bring fraternity between all of the various cities and towns, even including those that were ruled by the enemy, to stop the war between them. Here's this guy, he loves the sport, so he's kind of tempted, and he starts going, "Hey, that would be nice. We would bring peace," and that's according to God's will, to bring peace and region and stop the war between brothers. But Nehemiah, look at this. Although he was very tempted to do it, at night he went to God and asked God, should I do it, Father? Because I know it's your will to stop this killing and all, you know, everything that's going on and bring about peace. God didn't say yes or no. What do you think he did? He says, what is more important right now? Building the wall or becoming famous and having a good time? Building the wall was so, Nehemiah realized at that point, building the wall was more important than him having a good time, because he figured, yes, I could become one of the greatest coach and have a real great team and great success. But the important thing was building the wall. Now, in your life and mine, what is the most important thing? Building the Christ likeness in my life, or going out to do all kinds of things thinking I'm doing it for the Lord? Or just keeping busy doing things all for the Lord, but forgetting the principal thing. Forgetting, first of all, to ask the Lord what He wants me to do. But I go forth and do it, and I've just missed God, and I risk getting messed up. And not only that, messed up myself. But what about those that are hearing me? If I'm not in the will of God, what happens? What's coming out of my mouth could be destructive in some ways. Or God may, then again, just to override me and do something good just the same, but still for my own life, I've messed up. I've got to go back to Him and repent of what I've done, because I didn't wait on Him and I didn't ask if that's what He had prepared for me to do. There are times, there are things that are happening in my life. I mean, I could be going around all over. I'm not working anymore. I'm retired. So I have plenty of time. I could run, go listen to this particular person, run somewhere else and do this and do that. But Lord, what is it you want from me? Am I supposed to go there? I'm at a point right now, and I pray that I don't miss. Because let's face it, I'm human just the same as everybody else. I can mess up just the same as anybody else. But I try as much as I can to remember to ask, am I to go there? Am I to do this? If I don't get a good feeling or a good sensation, I don't get a push to go, I don't even bother. People, and yet, you wouldn't believe the amount of messages that I receive. Oh, so-and-so is over there. And sometimes they have someone that, hey, I'd really love to hear. But Lord, I'm not supposed to go there. If I don't get a good push, positive, I won't even bother. Even though I'd like to be there, I won't. Because somewhere along the line, God has something better for me. And if I don't listen to Him, tell me, am I to go? Then I mess up. I might go there. I might not receive what He has planned for me. I might receive something else. It sounds good. It may be good. But somehow, the feeling is not right for some reason. Or, well, that sounded hollow. If it's hollow, that means there's no life in it. It's just the flesh operating. And sadly enough, there's too much of that going around in many, many circles. And the sad part about it all is, most of the time, the people that are doing it don't even realize that they're doing it. That's what's sad about it all. They're all being honest, thinking honestly that they are doing the will of God, and yet as many as a time they are not. It's just the flesh, because they've got to go. They've got to be busy building things for the Lord. Building things for the Lord. God said, I will build my house. You can't build it for me. Have you work in construction. Have you seen a house built itself? can't. It takes someone else on the outside to build the house. There's got to be plans. There's got to be good foundations. There's all kinds of things to look after. But many of the things in our lives, we don't even know what's best for us. But He does. He knows how to build us. And He's given us all of the building blocks. They're all in that Word. See Him there with His Bibles always open and all kinds of notes? As He receives things from the Lord, He gets building blocks. He might get one out of the whole thing. But that block is important. It's important for each one of us. So receiving from the Lord to build things upon, we give it back to Him. We meditate on it. And as we meditate on these words, He's going to show us all kinds of things through. Just to give you an idea, that one verse here, the fourth and the fifth verse, 5 months. And you wouldn't believe the amount of messages that the Lord gave me through this. He came at me from so many angles, I couldn't even begin to tell you of how much truth and how much life there is in just those two verses. You know what that brought me to realize? He is the living Word. So one word out of this, and He could build all kinds of messages and come at me from all kinds of angles and still be building blocks within my life. He is the grand master builder. We can't teach Him nothing, but He can teach us an awful lot of things. And He can do more than we can ever think or imagine. That's Scripture. You'll find it in the New Testament. I believe it's in the book of Corinthians, isn't it?
Ephesians 3:20,
okay? He can do far greater and above what we could ever possibly imagine. And sometimes He'll do a word. Last year, I questioned Pastor Kim on something. Because I found that the oddest thing, and I thought I was completely out in left field. Because it had been how long? About 6 months or so when I spoke to you on the phone. I had been on one verse of Scripture in the New Testament. 6 months. And I thought I was losing it. But yet, every time that I would get in the Word and get on that verse, I was seeing things in ways that I had never thought of before. And I could not possibly have imagined. And I started questioning the Lord. Why? Then I found a little verse. He didn't answer me audibly or in a still small voice. I got a verse. He says it's the glory of God to hide His counsels. You'll find it in Proverbs if you look. But here's the second part. We all have something to do. It is the glory of His children to seek the matter out. What's the first and great commandment that He said in the book of Matthew? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness, and then the rest will all be added to you. You won't even have to ask for it, He'll give it to you.
Amen.
But seeking His kingdom, that means seeking His knowledge. And the building blocks for building His house, which is each and every one of us, comes through revelations or revealed truth by the Spirit. Not what we can work out in our own natural understanding out of the Word. You've got to study the Word, yes. But seek Him first. Because He is the living Word. And through that Word, He will show you things that you couldn't even think or even imagine. And when He reveals a truth unto you, that's another building block that He builds in there. Just give it back to Him. Lord, I give it to you. Build me up and burn from me everything that is not of you, that is not of your likeness or your glory, and build in me your habitation. Make me into a house worthy of your habitation and of your glory. Then at this point, what have I got? What do any of us have to glory about? Because it's not us. It'll be Him, and then this way He'll get all the glory. it's not something, you know, that could have worked out. Even though at one point, some people, sadly speaking, were referring to me as, hey, the concordance, where is it written? And they would quote a verse, you know, that they were getting, and they were trying to give a teaching. And they turned to me and looked at me and said, hey, the concordance, where is it written such and such and such? They would no sooner have finished quoting the verse, I would tell them the book, chapter, and verse. That's how well I knew that word. But you know what I realized when I started receiving revelation and the true truth of God? I realized I knew nothing. I knew absolutely nothing. Sure, I had all kinds of words. I knew the Bible frontward and backward. I could have told you where everything was written. And you know what I had based myself on? I had believed a verse of Scripture written in the Gospel of John that says, and my Spirit shall teach you all truth and shall put you in remembrance of all the words of life. Well, I quoted that verse for so long, and I thank God. And I would add, every time I prayed, and you give me book and chapter and verse. So anybody came up with something and just asked me where it was, the answer is just like this. But that day when this man called me the concordance, and I gave the answer faster, I didn't even stop to think, I just gave him the answer. And it was right on. He went to it and he's just, yeah, there it is. It's just like red lights went off inside. And that was the beginning of my changeover and my transformation from head knowledge to spiritual knowledge, being guided by the Spirit. That's when I first started to realize that, hey, I have not built on the proper blocks. I have not built on the truth of the Spirit, even though the Lord was blessing me. Don't kid yourself, He was still blessing me because I was still ignorant of His ways to a certain degree. But haven't we all been? We've all been there. Doesn't matter who it is, we've all been there. And that's when I started to realize, whoa, I don't really know Him as I should. So the Lord has changed me. I had to repent of having done this, and I even asked that day, look at how fearful I became. I asked God that day, I said, that gift of being able to tell book and chapter and verse to everyone that comes to me just like this, and it comes out, take it away from me. Because you know what I realized? I could have been put on a pedestal. Anybody could have come to me, even ministers, pastors, prophets. You don't remember exactly where it's written in the Word if they're not prepared, or something. They just get that as a flash while they're preaching. Oh, concordance, where is it written in such and such a thing? And no sooner asked, answer was right there. That would have been a risk for me to elevate myself. Hey, I got it all. That was dangerous. And from that day on, I said, Lord, you take that away from me. I don't want it anymore, except when it's for my own edification, and when you're talking to me, showing me things, then I would like to have that, but only for my own edification. Not to be raised above or put on a pedestal, thinking that, you know, for everybody to think, hey, he's got it. I don't have it. I didn't have it. That's what the realization was. I did not have it. Even though I could have quoted you verses from the beginning to the end of that Bible and tell you exactly where it was, I had a lot of head knowledge. And that builds pride. And that's the one thing that brought the fall of mankind. It brought the fall of the greatest angel in heaven, was pride. Getting prideful. What did he want? He wanted to be as God, and he wanted to worship, to receive the worship and adoration. That's what brought his downfall. I was headed exactly the same way. I had to change this. That's when I realized, see, it took an event like this to bring about a change. And that, from that point on, I said, no. I said to the Lord, unless you lead me into something I don't even want to be part of anything whatsoever in any church. It don't matter. Unless you talk to me, you tell me what you want me to do, and you tell me where you want me to go, I don't want any part of it. But the one thing I want above everything, and it should be the desire of each one of us, the desire of our heart, Lord, change me. Reveal yourself to me and build in me a new and a right spirit. Reveal your heart to me. But not only reveal it, but change me according to your heart. I want to know you. I want to know you as you are. I want to become what you have prepared for me. Not what I want or not what somebody else wants me to become. And a lot of people that are coming at me, they want me to be a pastor of them. If God don't tell me, what am I going to go there? Going to go do more damage than I do good? I don't want that. So when the Lord will tell me to go ahead at that point, He's got something to do first, because in our country, unless you're licensed, you can forget that for being a pastor of a church. I can do ministry in a home, bring about the Word, share in the Word when I'm led to. Other than that, I don't want any part of it. I want to be built up first to what He wants me to be, and it should be the desire of each one of us, of our heart. And there are people in this room here that have been prepared by God to bring about things. I'm thinking of one in particular. I'm looking right at her. She has been prepared, and she is still being prepared, and she's going to be one dandy of a teacher. Because that's the call. That's the call on her life. But when the Lord releases her, pay heed. She's going to bring truth that will surprise you and astound you. There are others. God will reveal them in His own time when He's prepared and when He is ready to release them. Wait for the release of the Lord to do things. In the meantime, you have in this place, and I'm not even ashamed to say it, I'll gladly say it, you are a chosen few that have a ministry gift in this place that will not bow down to the pressures of the world and any other time. It's one of the rare places where you have a minister that will stay in the ways of the Lord, no matter what. Even if he loses the whole congregation, he still will stay that way. And I know that for a fact. That kind of a ministry gift, I can have respect for. Because he walks in the ways of the Lord. And I'll tell you something, I'm not ashamed. I haven't told him that. But to me, he is my mentor. I started to receive more things since I started to get to know him. And I've been coming here. And I'll tell you something, there are times that I wish I could spend more time down here. But it's in His hands. It's in His timing. And if He so decides, and He gives us the means and the ways to do it, then it'll get done. Until then, I wait. I wait on Him and do what I have to do to grow and mature in Him. Not in the ways that somebody else wants me to be, but in His way, in His time. And when the Lord decides that I'm ready to go on to further things, then it'll be so. I don't have to worry about it. None of us do. Because the day He decides to release us, we'll know. So that's about all that I had for tonight. There was all kinds of things. I mean, I could have gone maybe 8 or 10 different ways to bring something different, because He gave me something like 15 or 20 different messages out of just those few scriptures that you heard. He came so many ways that I was there. Thank you, Lord. But now you're going to have to do the choosing and give what you want, not me. It wasn't what I had planned, what I had thought of that would come out. It came out totally different. And He does it to me every time. So, Lord, right now, I'll turn this back over to Pastor and he'll finish for me.
I just want to quote the verse. I'll take the it's hidden in your pocket. He quoted Proverbs 25. I have to go look it up. I'm not the concordance. Proverbs 22. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of kings. And we are to be kings and priests unto Him. He also touched on pride. And pride wants to build up the soul of the man or the woman. Self. And the spirit within us, once we are built in the anointing of the Holy Ghost, wants to lift up whom?
The Lord.
No. Once the Holy Spirit is inside of us, who is our spirit trying to lift up?
Jesus.
Amen? So that's kind of a beautiful guideway for you to kind of keep a focus. If you see that the enemy is trying to build you up, well, like my brother shared, you know, you have a decision to make. And when you make that decision, you're going to have help. And the one that's helper is the Holy Spirit. The one that will try to build you up is not always God. So, beautiful message. Would you put your hand in the hand of your sweetheart, sir? Could you extend your hands to these beautiful Canadians? Father, we just want to bless them. We know that You have brought them feast after feast, and we know that You are the author and finisher of everything that's going on up in Granby. And Lord, You know the needs and the surrounding areas, and You also know that the need of angels to protect, guide them, Your Holy Spirit to enlighten them, and to release the grace that they need on an everyday basis. And all of God's people say,
amen.
And amen.